Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hi, I'm Virgie Rodriguez, and welcome to A Race of Your Own, where we will discuss insights on inspiration and resilience. And today's guest, I'm really excited to have here. He has three Emmy nominations. He has an Imagen Award nomination as well for Best Commercial from the Imagen Foundation. We're going to be exploring and talking also about Hispanic Heritage Month. And I'm here to like really highlight those people in the community that are, you know, change makers, trendsetters, leading the way. One more point that I want to make, because we're going to discuss a bunch of points, but he also founded the New York Latino Film Festival back in 1999, but really kind of came together in 2000. And I'm excited to have Mr. Calixto Chinchilla.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm excited
to be your first guest.
Yes.
I'll be the guinea pig for this you know, interview experience.
And that wasn't the intention. The intention was just because you were here and I was like, he's in Los Angeles. Yes.
Yeah. And it's hot. So pardon. I came off the plane straight here. For those of you who see this, whatever, we're in the heat wave. It's 100 plus degrees. And I didn't expect that as soon as I got off the plane. I guess I didn't check the weather, but I didn't expect 100 and change degrees. So pardon. Yeah, I had a whole other outfit for you.
No, it's
all good. But this is my off-the-plane attire for you.
And I'll take it, because you're a busy man. So for me, just the fact that you're here and, like, gracing my presence and giving me the time, I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
So thank you. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I kind of delved in here and, like, what we're going to be talking about. And really, you have such a, like, nice rounded background, and you've always had, to me, you've always been that change maker. You've been that inspirational voice in for Latinos, for the Black culture, African American culture. Tell me a little bit more about yourself. What sparked that? What wanted to make you kind of get into entertainment, but also, like, it's not so much entertainment, it's really be a change maker for the culture.
Well, I never thought of it that way. I think a lot of it was, you know, I've always wanted to work in entertainment since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be a filmmaker first since I was a child. You know, and everyone has, like, you know, love Steven Spielberg. So it's like, yes, I remember my first E.T. experience or first seeing that, and that blew my mind away. And I was like, I like this world of make-believe, and I like going to theater, I like watching musicals, and I like the escapism. And, you know, I grew up in the projects. So anything outside the walls, whatever, you know, is what I really appreciated. And I was fortunate because I grew up on those projects that are behind Lincoln Center, which are not, you know, they're basic buildings compared to other situations. But being blessed to be behind Lincoln Center, which is like the mecca of culture, particularly in New York, but, you know, kind of globally as well. You know, that gave me further inspiration and insight. I was like, wow, this is interesting, and this is what I think I want to do. And so it started from there as a child.
And that must be where we connect, because one of my favorite movies is The Goonies. And somebody told me, oh, I know why you like The Goonies. And I was like, Spielberg? Like, I don't know. Like, what is it? And they were like, you like magic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's something about this magic, and you're saying escapism. You know, I went to LaGuardia High School, which is
right
behind Lincoln Center.
I was in the
right
I'm the building right next to the entrance of LaGuardia.
Yes. Like, literally, that's why we hung out with those kids. Yes, yes. We hung out with those kids, right? In those same projects.
I didn't know that.
Yes, right next to LaGuardia. You know, we grew up in a space that was just rock. You know, it's concrete. You know, New York City is a concrete city. You're seeing all kinds of stuff every day. So I think movies that Spielberg would do, like E.T. and all these, it was escapism. Yeah. There's something beautiful about that. Uh-huh. And so do you remember the defining moment? Like, do you remember like what in E.T. made you be like that? Because I remember that for me. Like, for me, it wasn't a Spielberg movie. It was West Side Story. When I saw West Side Story, I was like, I want to do that.
I didn't see West Side Story until later, you know, a little bit. I mean, it came to me a little bit later, but I, you know, that moon moment, that bike moment, and, you know, the ending and all of that, just like, I was just wowed by it. But I don't know what kid wasn't. Right. Like, you know what I mean? So even to this day, like, it's still, you know, practical effects at all. Like, it still holds up.
Right.
But for me, I was like, I want to work in the movies. I want to find a way. And I studied that, man. Like, even like when I was in fifth grade, I wrote like a book report of this man.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember? Do you still have that book report or no?
I don't know. No, probably the teacher does. But, you know, I was like really curious about him. I was like,
it's like you found that thing that gave you that spark that kind of was like, that's what
I wanted. Because he was on Make Believe, you know, Overdrive then, you know, Raiders, all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Like, that's right, Raiders.
All of it. And so I was just fascinated by it. And, you know, what's crazy is that my childhood best friend was also into film and also, but from an acting point. And it's crazy as God would have it, you know, we're both working in entertainment as adults. Only God could write that, right?
How has God played in your life like that? Have there been moments where there was like these little miracles that happened along the way that you were like, I'm on the right path?
Everything. Mm. Everything. Mm. I think he's everything. And I think when you look back on it now, you know, you get to reflect on moments that you're like, wait a minute, this is my purpose. Mm. But I didn't think about it, right? And so you're like, what? And there's too many instances that I could reflect now that I'm still on. I try not to look back, but I can reflect now. It's like, if I didn't do this, if I didn't go to this room, if I didn't meet this person, if I didn't think of this or whatever, it wouldn't have happened. But only God could write that narrative. Only God could write that book.
Right.
And there's too many coincidences in my life that I'm like, oh, shoot. You know what I mean? And so recently I had an experience with somebody, you know, it was a whole to-do, but like really got reflective on me. And I was like, you realize it in bits and moments, but then there's some moments where you're in stillness and you're like, it comes to you. And so the best you can do is to continue to live in that purpose humbly. And, you know, keep pushing ahead, uplift others in the process. Yeah.
In finding your purpose. Cause that was a road for me as well. Like, it took me a second. Again, I keep stressing, like, a race of your own. You're literally in this race on your own, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not, you're going to come across, there's going to be tumbleweeds sometimes. There's going to be hills. There's going to be valleys, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, remembering your purpose through that, through the obstacles, mm-hmm. through the tumbleweed times, right? Is there something definitive that happened to you at a point where that purpose became so clear to you that you were like,
now.
Wow.
Like, you could look back, but you know, when you're growing up and you're living through it and you go to puberty and all, and certain moments happen, you're like, wait a minute, this happened at this time because I was ready for it or whatever. You know, you think about tumbleweeds, it's like, you know, I didn't grow up in Hollywood. I didn't grow up in any of this stuff. And so, but you dreamt about it, right? And so for me, it's like, I still remember my very first trip out here and what that meant. And all those things, right? And so, again, you know, as a New Yorker, as a Latino, you know, growing up the way I did, you remember those struggles and like, can I do it? Mm-hmm. And so, and at the same time, you remember your parents discouraging you not to do, like, to do the safe zone and to do something else.
Right.
And so, and this is where purpose sets in. and you're like, no, I think I'm gonna roll this dice. I think I'm gonna go on this road. And I think that there's a certain moment. So yeah, when maybe there was that. I think maybe after college or whatever, there was that moment where I was like, I'm gonna do this. And I remember I was working two jobs, going to school, trying to raise money for a project, whatever. And that's when the idea for the film festival kind of came along. And, you know, I went through exhaustion. I was in the hospital. I was like, I had to choose what I was going to do. I said, I think this is the road, maybe. I think this is it. You know, that's what I did.
And when it comes to purpose, again, there's a lot of like parallels here that we're talking about, because I kind of feel I've come across my purpose as well, right? And part of it is speaking, is getting these voices out, right? That are just these people that I just know, even in my life. You've given me an opportunity with my short film back in 2021. And that to me was a big deal, because it was my first time just getting my feet wet trying to be a filmmaker, right? I didn't know. I was very blindly submitting to festivals and not knowing. And so when it comes to that, and people kind of look at you as like this leader and this, you know, this person that gives opportunity, you know, how does that feel? Like, that's part of your purpose, right? Like, me looking at you, that's how I look at it. Like, wow, did he realize that that was part of his purpose?
You know, I wish I could say I thought different, but no, I don't. Like, for me,
I did it.
You know, sometimes success makes you more vulnerable. You know what I mean? And like, you know, I know what it is now, but I think there's a moment where you have to validate yourself. It's like, wait a minute, I belong to be in these rooms. I belong in these rooms. I know I need to meet this person. Or I know I need to be in this situation. And like, we didn't know those words then. We didn't know belong. Mm-hmm. Like, we did. Yeah, it was in the dictionary, but like, it didn't have a different meaning, the meaning that it weighs now, right? And so, or, you know, I hate the word imposter syndrome. that's not me. I don't like those words. But that sense of belonging, yeah, you know, I think I've come to... you know, I had to fight through that, and sometimes success can amplify that and like magnify it, you know, amplify it and magnify it. But so I constantly, now I'm more self-aware, you know, but sometimes you also have to check yourself. It's like, wait a minute, this is not a dream, this is reality. And sometimes that happens when, you know, I don't get caught up anymore. I've been blessed to meet almost every celebrity on the block for the most part, you know what I mean? But that doesn't mean it. The people are people. So that it's not that. But in me, I'm still that kid in the projects. I'm still that kid who grew up dreaming. That person still exists in me. Mm-hmm. Money, success, none of those things change that. It could change some people. It doesn't change me. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference. And so that's where you want to lean into faith. That's you want to lead into humility. Because everything could be taken away. Mm-hmm. You could be whatever. And like, you want to lean into your purpose and serving your purpose right. Because the moment you do that, you betray your purpose. You betray the blessing when you start acting extra and doing things. You know what I mean? And like, that's a test. And that's when, but that's when God tests you. I believe that that's when you get tested. Okay, fine. If you get this, how are you going to respond to it? How are you going to respond to people? How are you going to move in life when you finally get the things that you want? And so for me, it's like, no, I double down. Like, I'm cool. I'm still walking the walk. And that's, you know, I'm grounded. I'm so grounded.
Three things you're saying. So I heard like acceptance, I heard humility, and then grounded. Like, those three things are so big. And in accepting who we are, and then our culture, right? Mm-hmm. Leading into Hispanic Heritage Month and all this stuff that's coming up. And how important is that in all of this, right? Like, our heritage. And I know it's only a month that we celebrate, and we talked about this before. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, the importance of that. Because it's almost like Latinos, we're proud. Mm-hmm. Like, everywhere we go, we will say where we're from, what country, what part. Well, you know,
in my case, what borough.
What borough, right. You know. So, you know, how does that, you know, play into, you know, what's the importance for you with celebrating Hispanic Heritage Month, but then like continuing that conversation, right? Not stopping at the month.
I mean, the point of the festival, we didn't get into that just yet, but the festival right. really started from that curiosity, because you realize there's so many things that are not taught in our public schools. There's so many things about us that we don't know. There's so many things that we've kind of had to kind of figure out by ourselves. And so for me, like doing the New York Latino Film Festival has been like really just life-changing and such a learning experience for me. And, you know, I'm second gen. I don't speak the best Spanish. I like a good Spanish track and all of that. It doesn't make me less than
right.
or any of that. But there was a moment where there was an era where people were like, nah, you're not Latin enough, or you're not this enough, or whatever. And I'm pretty sure you've heard it, you know, yes. Bello malo, pero bueno, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and all those mm-hmm. like things. And like, it's, nah, you're black, you're not this. And it's like, right. and so.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
But this is sometimes been generational stuff that we've had to harbor, and I get it. But now you have, you know, there's so much of a learning, and we're redefining culture. And this generation is totally redefining culture.
Yes.
And that changes how people consume the culture. And so for me, all of this continues to be, you know, a learning experience. And particularly for me, I learned so much in doing this part, you know, in doing the film festival, and everything that I've been in, everything I've worked in is culture spaces. And who knew that that was going to be the case? I didn't know that.
And what do you feel like Gen Z specifically, like, what do you feel like Gen Z is doing that maybe we didn't do before, and they're doing a great job at it, and that they're kind of getting it inside in that
because they can amplify it quicker. Everything is quick. We didn't have it quick.
No. No, we literally were sending smoke signals. Right,
and it's viral, yeah. And it's whatever.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's quick. We didn't have it quick. We worked twice as hard for it.
We did. We were literally sending letters.
Yeah.
Like, and sending faxes.
Yeah. Not to Muir.
not at all. At yeah. all. Is there something specifically you do to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month? Or...
Is you know, something? I'm different because I celebrate 24/7, 365.
I'm the same way. Like, when it comes around, I'm always like, the festival. Like, I always remember, I'm like, okay, that's the festival's happening. New York yeah. Latino Film Festival's happening. But then I'm also like, okay, that's cool. There's going to be some, like, cool parties yeah. and, like, some cool stuff. But, yeah, I don't, like, I feel like I celebrate it all the time as well. I don't
yeah.
stop.
Because I'm tired. We got half a month. We have the halves of 2 months. Like, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how we got... Out of all the months,
who decided?
Out of
that?
Every heritage, for some reason, somebody in DC or whoever came up, you know, I think it's a DC thing that came up with these months. But I don't know how we ended with, you know,
September 15th.
Two halves of a month. It doesn't October make sense 15th. To me.
Yeah, it's not. It's not whatever. A full month. I don't. Yeah. I don't get it either. Yeah, like yeah. I don't understand why that is either.
It is, like, but what? It is what it is. But so for me. No, I'm 365. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
Yeah.
No. And there's another thing. There's another point that I found as researching you. I like to say that. Entrepreneur Magazine called you or recognized you as the one to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like that hasn't stopped. Like, you continue to, like, every time I see that you're doing something new, you're something, you know, and I know we can talk about this now, but like time,
Time Magazine, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Time Magazine has also recognized you, which is a really big deal.
That's crazy.
You know, and it happened kind of all of a sudden. And, you know, again, as like influential Latino Hispanic Heritage Month, celebrating our culture, where we come from, where we've been. And you're saying, I can like see that little kid that's still like, I'm Calixto and I just have this dream and I just want to do this thing. What did that feel like when you got that call from Time?
It's crazy because entrepreneur, that's crazy because I hated the word entrepreneur forever.
Well, everybody's an entrepreneur now.
I get it, but he's equated to being broke. So I was like, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm just
I feel like
me.
I've heard you say that before.
You know what I mean? Like, I have this title and this is the and I don't use, you know, I'm an executive director, but I don't use, I'm not big on the word founder for some reason. Mm-hmm. I've never really been big on the word entrepreneur. Okay. I just feel like, I look at the company as, it's an entity that I work for, which technically is. I work for this company, just like everyone else or whatever. And so I look, I operate from that lens that I'm working for this entity. Mm-hmm. And so I respect it enough to give it that service. So I don't look at myself as an entrepreneur so per se. So when that happened, it was mind-blowing. It's crazy. And what's even more crazier is, you know, this is popular. Forgive me for her last name. Her name is Gabrielle, but what's her? Gabrielle Bernstein. Uh-huh. Gabrielle Bernstein is a big guru, spiritual guru. She's been on Oprah, whatever.
Nice.
It's Gabrielle Bernstein that she used to be my publicist. And she's the one who put me on. Like, the one who got that to happen.
Shout out to Gabrielle.
Shout out to Gabrielle. But, you know, that was mind-blowing. I didn't expect that. And, you know, again, being Latino, being that whatever. Being that kid in my mind, like, that still blows me away. So when Time Magazine happens, you know, that blew me away. And those are moments where, you know, I teared up. I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
So I'm still, I'm still wide-eyed about it, everything that happens or whatever.
Yeah.
I think maybe because I'm just so focused on what we do and focused on the work that when you're put in situations where somebody, you know, wants to cover, do anything on you, whatever it is, or recognizes you, you know, I accept it. I accept it humbly.
Yeah.
But I accept it nonetheless. Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, again, it's a change maker. I keep saying that and I keep saying it over and over again. And it's only because, like, there's not a lot of people that, you know, are leading the way in that sense. And and if you've gotten kind of, we're shouting out Gabrielle, but
But you gotta shout out everyone who puts you, like, it takes a village.
Right, it does take a village.
So there's so many people who uplifted me that got me anything.
Yeah.
And so you don't forget the people who helped uplift you. Whether you're in my life still or not, I still gotta give you the credit,
I feel like I see that in you too. Like, you reach back.
You got it. Why?
You reach back. I just don't, you know, and I really want to kind of, like, as much as I want to explore, and I'm exploring in this.
And that's a choice. That's a choice of how you operate, how you choose to operate. Because people forget. Mm-hmm. You don't forget. I can't forget. But that's a choice.
And so these blessings keep coming because of that, right? Is it you feel like you walk in your purpose? You know, you're accepting of who you are. You have this little Calixto inside of you screaming, like, we got to do this film festival. We got to do this stuff, you know, and you're still plugging away and you're chugging away. And then whoop, Time Magazine is like, hey, we want to feature you. You're doing something. I mean, that feels like, wow, I'm being recognized at this level. You know, I must be doing something right. You know, I got to continue this race. I can't stop.
So I found it was one of three in the nation. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That's amazing, though. I mean, you know, patting yourself on the back, too, and just like recognizing you didn't get there because you didn't follow your dream. You got there because you did, right? And you stayed in that race. You continued. You didn't give up on yourself, right? I just feel like we sometimes don't give ourselves enough credit. You know, we sit in our own kind of like, oh, I gotta do this. There's so much work that's gotta be done. I know I do that mm-hmm. all the time. And I can't sometimes figure out a way.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing too hard until I like step back and let it kind of figure itself out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's just to me something that I feel like is amazing, and it's part of like what you keep saying, which is like the blessings, the acceptance, and purpose. In finding your purpose too, I'm trying to see like trying to get more stuff out of you. Like where do you see Calixto in 10 years? Where do you see Calixto? What do you see Calixto doing? Is he gonna run for mayor or something?
No.
Politics not really kind of something you're vying for at all. Where do you see like where would you like to see where would you like to see kind of like Hispanic heritage went in that sense, or like Hispanidad, Latinidad as a whole?
I mean, we just want to grow, you know, continue to grow the brand. I mean, right now we're going on tour to 6 different cities, and then we're launching a unit in Puerto Rico this year.
Yeah. Talk to us about that. Wait, what do you mean? You're like, yeah, I'm going on tour. Then, I mean, you know, we're launching in Puerto Rico.
And then,
so you're taking the festival to Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so what was that? Tell us that. I'm gonna find out. You can't just throw that out there, Calixto. And then, wait, what?
Yeah.
So it's grown to the point where you took it out of New York. It's still in New York, but mm-hmm. you're taking a piece of it and moving it to Puerto Rico too. So will you also?
Where this at is different cities. And, you know, again, we do work for different studios.
Okay.
So we have an agency division, and, you know, just really kind of just opening up our toolkit for, you know, for me, if we know the top creatives globally, if we have access to content and creatives, if we have this creative and cultural intelligence, then how do we move it to brands? How do we move it, you know, to our existing partners and really give that equity and opportunity to the people that are on our radar? And so that's what we've been doing, is kind of just expanding our reach in that way. That's where Emmy nominations came from.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then the Puerto Rican part or in Puerto Rico of the mm-hmm. film festival, is that specific to just Puerto Rican filmmakers, or is it open?
It'll be different. Yeah. I mean, we're still trying to figure it out, to be honest, but it'll be different.
And this will be your first year. When is that?
The end of October is what?
2024 is the first year you're going to do it in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then how many?
This is, you know, there's some things I can't really speak on just
yet.
Okay,
sorry.
But yeah, it'll
be. But we heard it here first.
Yeah.
How many submissions do you get each year?
Hundreds of thousands? I mean, close to a thousand. I wish it was hundreds of thousands, but close to a thousand.
Okay.
Globally.
Wow. So from all over the world, about 1,000 submissions a year.
We have a whole team, a whole programming team, people that sift through everything and put it together. Yeah. And I kind of, I'll Baywatch it, you know, but I really don't watch much. But there's a whole team that really is just dedicated. They're amazing. I love my team. I love everybody on my team. Like they really hold me up, but they hold each other up. And that's even more better. They hold each other accountable.
And I know that the Emmy, you know, when you get recognized like that, I know some people are like, oh, it's not about the award, it's about the nomination, you know, and some people say that, you know, but, you know, and I don't want to keep asking like, well, how did that feel? Well, of course, it feels great to be recognized, right? But like, it when you go into what you did, that campaign that you did, that you got that nomination,
uh-huh.
For that, there was two PSAs and then one commercial campaign, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it in the back of your head? Is that what you're thinking? Or you're just like, no, I just really want to do this? Because there's PSAs. It's like pretty deep stuff.
No, I don't know. I mean, I didn't. No, you don't think any of that. You just want to do good work. And, you know, obviously somebody recognizes it. So you're like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like in an Emmy, you know, campaign. The crazy thing is when you hear it on TV.
And you're like, that's
so when you see it on TV and you see the nominations, and someone put me on the, like, you know, you should watch it. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to watch it. They're like, you know, you should watch it. So I got up early in the morning and I saw it. And, you know, when your name gets read on that card, you're like, what?
Wow.
Oh, bleep. What is going to happen? And so, and then, you know, you make the call to mommy. You know what I mean? That's right. That kid. I'm going to make a call to mommy. I'm going to make a call to my grandmother. I'm going to do all of that. Yeah, it's crazy.
And both your parents were from Puerto Rico?
My mom is. But, okay. But they split. They divorced. So I grew up with my mother.
So when you were growing up with your mom in the projects in Manhattan, what, you know, how did she first take to like what you were saying about what you wanted to do and your ideas and your creativity?
You know, I mean, I think she was supportive to a certain extent, but, you know, to tell you the truth, my mother didn't know what I was doing. And so she saw it on TV. And by then it was too late. So I kept it really secret, like things that I, you know, about the festival and the whole thing with HBO and all of that other stuff. But like all of that was secret.
Wow.
Even from my friends, from everyone. It was secret.
Was it a superstitious kind of thing?
It was, you know, I just think that sometimes parents mean well. Mm-hmm. With advice, and I get it, you know what I mean? But sometimes, you know, the slightest advice can change the trajectory of how you're thinking and what you feel. And for me, I was really vulnerable that I didn't need to hear
a no.
A no or a thought. Like for me, I thought I was crazy as it is. So I don't need someone to justify that crazy or like whatever.
Right.
And I was like, I was just in a mode, and I was like, I just gotta go quiet and just move, and like if it happens or whatever, then it's gonna happen. But I needed to be really quiet about it. And then when she saw it on TV, she was like, what is this? And what is, like, she was just dumbfounded. And I said, well, this is what it is, and I'm moving out.
And then you moved out. Oh my god, that's amazing. Talk about just like talk about like putting on your that's wings and be like, okay, see you later, mom. Was she devastated?
But all that happened at like 21, 22.
Was she devastated?
No. I mean, she was
like... She was like, yeah, okay.
No, I mean, she was shocked. And then, you know, people in the neighborhood started stopping her. And like, she gets a lot of that, yeah. Then it became that. I was like, I'm out.
That's amazing.
No, it's sweet. It is.
That's like, so sweet. She must have been like, oh my God, my baby.
Yeah.
She's my little baby. And then... You know, do you go back to Puerto Rico a lot?
That was my first trip. That was my first trip.
Really?
Yeah. When I went, like, we were doing site visits, and it was my first trip.
Wow. Do you still have family there on the island?
Not many.
Not really. No. More New York.
My grandmother's really the anchor.
Yeah. Nice.
But a lot of people have passed. There's some cousins and stuff like that. But I was there. Another business, so it's really hard for me to say. I don't want to get into all that here, I really didn't have much time. But now I want to do it more time, and now take the time to go. And I need to take the time period to go away, so it's not just Puerto Rico. I just need to take the time to go away.
Well, just because I feel like for those of us that are kind of first or second generation, and like our families, I mean, I come from a big family, like on my mother's side, right? And so anytime I like people are like, oh, well, do you see your family? And I'm like, well, yeah, but it's like, they're just so far away, right? Like they're, cause it's this, there's like a, like we know our culture, we know who we are, we know all that, but then there's also this like disconnect.
And I felt that way a lot because my brother and I are gap kids, right? So I'm the youngest, and we're, you know, he's about 8-9 years apart from me. So it's, I grew up by myself a lot of the time. You know, he left out, I was just starting junior high school, he was out the house. Mm-hmm. So it was different. Yeah.
Yeah. So I sometimes feel like even just in celebrating our Latinidad and stuff, there's this like, you know, interesting, as much as we love our countries and where we're from and our cultures, there's also this. And in New York, though, I mean, there's so many Puerto Rican, Dominicans.
Yeah, I've been to DR. I go to DR a little bit more often because there's, you know, I'm more involved in the film business out there.
Right. Talk to us about that.
You know, just really just as you know, just... DR, like Puerto Rico, has you know, the strength has really been on their film commission. And like, you know, they had a president, Leonel Fernandez, who really saw film as an economic engine that can help the country. And so, you know, what he did was he put up the studio and he started building studios. And then Pinewood Studios moved into the area. And then they started training technicians. And now they have a film law. And now there's Hollywood stuff that shoots there, there's independent stuff that shoots there, but you know, film is big right now in Dominican Republic, where there was a time when nobody was touching film and nobody was whatever. And now you have so many things that are getting shot there. And, you know, co-productions, there's so many films that get, you know, a U.S. or local stateside, you know, tax break, and then they'll get the island incentive. And so so I've spoken there a lot when those things were kind of coming into development and all of that. So I've met with the president a couple of times on it.
Nice. And, mm-hmm. you know, again, it just feels good as a Dominican, too, like, to hear that, like,
yeah.
there's people like you that know what you're talking about. And yeah. you're like, and you, like, you know it. You know the business.
People that trust you. Yeah.
Yeah, like, no, people crazy. That trust you and, like, you know the business to the point where you're like, well, if you do this and this and that and that, you help kind of shape that world, so to speak.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
and I'm excited. I'm going to be excited to see, like, what you do even in Puerto Rico, because it sounds like this will be your first, right? Because the first
Yeah, this will be. I'm excited to see what comes of it, too. But I think, there's a good team, local side, you know, putting it together. You know, we'll be at the T-Mobile District, the T-Mobile mm-hmm. Center out there. And, you know, again, I'm, you know, you're just happy that there's people that, you know, like the brand and, like, mm-hmm. want to take us places and whatever. And it you know, again, like, being in those rooms where you're meeting with the president, like, a crap load of Secret Service, that's crazy to
right.
me.
Right.
But, you know, those are, like, internal pinch me moments that you save face.
Do you have that moment where you're standing there and you're like, how did I get in this room? Like, I deserve to be in this room. But then you're also like, how did I get here? Right. And then you start to think of all the other work that you've done, all the stuff that led you there.
You think about it, but yeah, I mean, yeah, but, you know, it just comes in waves, and, like, you know, it's funny, you know, somebody reminded me of something we did, you know, Whoopi Goldberg had given us a shout out, and I remember when we became a hot topic, and I didn't expect it.
On The View?
On The View.
Whoopi Goldberg did. What?
And I was brushing my teeth, like, watching it just like everyone else. And I knew she was been around or whatever. Has she gone to the festival
before?
Yeah. And she was like, on The View, you got to go to this thing. Like a full-on
what?
Endorsement.
You're like, what?
And I'm brushing my teeth. And I'm watching just like everyone else. And I'm like, what? Like, foaming my mouth. And I'm like, what? What the what? And yeah, seems like so. Those are pitch me moments.
And then, right, and then, like, what do you do? Like,
choke on the floor. Right?
What do you do at that point? Do you go, hey, Whoopi? Do you want to, like?
No, I had mad phone calls like this, and, like, I was like, I don't know what happened. Just happened right now.
I
still got the clip, though. That's best believe.
Yeah, and you, I'm sure you do. And that's, you know, yeah,
she's wonderful. She's a sweetheart.
And she's supportive, right? She supports the festival a lot. Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah.
She's a true New Yorker, like.
Yeah.
And Spike, you said you've worked with him before, or you worked with him?
No, right? I met him earlier. I met Spike when I was 14 or something like that.
And has he been ever to the festival?
Do the Right Thing came out, huh?
Oh, Do the Right Thing, okay.
Do the Right Thing.
Has he been to the festival or no?
Yeah, he's been... I think maybe once or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I could have sworn you said that he was, but
Was... No. And it's funny, you know. I met him as a kid. I have an original Do the Right Thing poster that he signed for me when I was a kid.
Do you have that framed? Like,
Of course I do. I do. That I do. But who knew?
Iconic.
Who knew?
That is iconic. At the time, you didn't know. You just wanted to get it signed.
Well, not even that. You know, you don't realize as an adult you're gonna,
right?
That I'm gonna call you. Or whatever it is. You know what I mean? I'm gonna be in your space. So no.
Wow, that's amazing. I feel like we've talked about so many different things. We've hit so many different points. Is there anything, like, kind of like, if you was like one lasting thing for people that are, like, either in the industry or in a race of their own and whatever they're doing, that you would kind of say as, like, an overarching piece of advice?
Stay the course. And people say that, but I really mean it. Like, stay the course. Because yeah, you'll be tested and all of that, but again, you'll be tested even when the success comes. I think you'll be tested along the way, period. But also, I think for me, since things started out for me really young, I had to really trust in the things that I know. And I think that there's sometimes when you have vulnerability, some people can take advantage of that and run it to the bank and use your whatever it is. And that's that. Yes, I've stumbled. I've had those moments. And this is when I realized, no, I'm smarter than I know. Like, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. If I didn't know what I'm doing, you wouldn't be talking to me or whatever the case is. But I think for me, when you grow up against those odds or whatever you're living in, you know, you kind of question yourself. There's some people who take that vulnerability and again, they'll run it. And so this is where you have to double down and really believe in yourself, pray up. You know the answers, you know what it is. You know what it is. But some people will test you. And that's the thing. And you know, and I'm talking from experience. There's plenty of times where I should have listened. I knew this. And sometimes we don't listen to the voice. We betray the voice. Listen, you don't have to make a decision right away. You don't got to make fast moves. Literally was for you. Trust is for you. And walk with it. Sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we get in our own way. And I've learned to like, and even more so, even, you know, the bigger decisions, the more I have to like, even for myself, I have to stop and listen. And that's daily practice. So I'm not just saying that, you know what I mean? Like, no, I haven't overcome this. There's certain things that will live for the rest of your life that you have to continue to practice and continue to live by.
Is there something you do to tune into that sometimes? Like that, you're constantly going. Like, is there something you do? Like, you're like, I take 5 minutes to meditate or like.
I should meditate more. I pray a lot. I do a prayer every night.
Nice.
Sometimes I'll just need to walk around the park and just rethink and just like be still. Sometimes I just like to like write things down. There's a lot of power when you write things down. Mm-hmm. Don't write it on a mobile. Don't write it on text. Write it with your own hand.
Yeah. See, like I literally
write it with your hand. There's a lot of power that comes from when what's coming out of your mind and what is was written by you physically, nothing electronically. And I've seen that for real. Mm-hmm. And so I'm learning like to write a little bit more. It just journals, but like, just like what I think or things that I want to accomplish or things I want to do. And, so I try to lean into that, to those things.
Yeah. And I kept hearing you when you're talking about like all the stuff that you're doing, it's like influence, like true influence, like influencers so loosely used, you know, these days, but like true influence, which is actually getting out there, doing the work, inspiring people to aspire to do better. Yeah. And I just kind of, you exemplify that to me for sure. Just from what I've known, what I've seen, what I've experienced, but also what I'm hearing you say, you always go back to that point, you know, and then which helps you keep inspired.
Yeah, it keeps me centered too, for sure. Yeah. You know.
So thank you for being here and giving me some of your time in this heat wave.
It is hot.
And I'm wearing a jacket. But thank you for giving me so much of your time, Calixto. I really appreciate it. Good luck on everything. Good luck on all your nominations.
Yeah, we'll see. We have an awards this weekend. That's what I'm here. So we'll see what happens.
I'm rooting for you, you know. Yes, definitely. And I'm Virgie Rodriguez for A Race of Your Own. Remember to subscribe and stay tuned.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.